Hi, Mayor Renner.
Good morning. How you doing, Scott?
All right. Are you watching with bated breath the developments in the presidential election process here in the United States?
Not really, because you know, when you're mayor of a city, it's the adage all politics is local. Hits, and so yeah, I've got too many other things to do. Obviously, it's fascinating in many different ways on both sides, and I'm sure it'll be a fascinating fall. But yeah, I don't really have time to do this with bated breath.
Oh, you don't follow Hillary and Donald on the Twitter, on the Snapchat,
no.
Chapstick, any of those?
Chapstick, nothing at all.
Nothing. All right. Let's talk about. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. I want to talk about the city council meeting last night. Let's talk about the hotel, because we had David Hales on yesterday and talked about the plans for the city and the money being spent on this and that. I want to focus more on the hotel, because I know that's a big project that you'd like to see happen in downtown Bloomington.
Just to clarify, it's a hotel, conference center, and 350 parking spaces, and that would be adjacent to the Coliseum. The thing that I've said all along is whatever the structure of the deal is, it would be the largest private investment of public dollars in our downtown in two generations. And any city skin in the game, if we had, let's say we issued a bond to build the parking, for example, the project has to pay for itself. There are no revenues that we're getting that we will dedicate to this. So if there's new hotel motel taxes, obviously we're getting nothing on the site. The front and center building is the biggest fire hazard in our downtown right now. We've got an old dilapidated building. We aren't getting any. We're not getting much in property taxes. Any of those increments, by virtue of the roughly $40 million private investment, would have to pay any city bond that might be used.
So we've talked about it in the past. This would be built without using taxpayer dollars.
Well, we would none that we're getting right now. Again, if this project is built, we've got, you know, ultimately somewhere around a $50 million complex, we're going to get more hotel motel taxes. And we are, well, not more. We've got nothing now. So we'll get hotel motel taxes that we are not getting. And we will have a pretty dramatic increase in property taxes. And that's what the concept of a TIF district is, where, in a sense, you put that money aside. And if the city were to issue, let's say, whatever, a $10 million bond, the proceeds from the private investment that are put in this TIF fund would pay for the bond, not any of our current revenues, if that makes sense.
So it would be paid for by money being generated
by the project.
By the project itself.
That's what I mean by the project has to pay for itself. And again, there is no parallel really, other than this is in downtown, to the Coliseum. The closer parallels would be some of the projects in Uptown Normal. The Coliseum, taxpayers were totally on the hook for absolutely everything, right? That's not what we're talking about here. And actually, frankly, if we get more gigs in the Coliseum, that'll help reduce the red ink in the Coliseum, and we're certainly hopeful that it will help our long-term financial situation. And there are already people who are beginning to eye the adjacent properties, because if you got a $50 million project, all the adjacent properties, whether it's the Pantograph building, the area south of the Coliseum, other places, are going to instantly be worth a lot more money. And so people are already beginning to kind of plan, if this passes and if we can come to an agreement, what downtown 2.0 might be.
All right. So did somebody plan on making the Pantograph building, turning that into a hotel?
I believe that was Mr. Bentley's proposal.
Where's that at?
The information that the people who are vetting this for us have been in the business for 35 years, Freeman and Associates, and so they vetted all of these numbers on the current project. There was not enough information provided, as I understand it, by Ms. Bentley to even vet that project.
So it was just an idea. So tell me about Commonwealth Hotels. David Hales mentioned Commonwealth Hotels yesterday in our conversation. What do you know about them?
National Hotel Group, pretty much the gold standard. you can Google them, get all the information on it. I believe WJBC and maybe even the Pantograph have done a little bit of digging or reporting into this, but certainly they're pretty close to the gold standard in terms of what they do. And the president of the entire national company is coming on Monday to talk to me, the city council, perhaps answer questions from the public about this moving forward. But let's also be clear, we do still have some details that we have to work out. You know, the city, for decades, frankly, did not get into contracts that protected taxpayers in the city. We got into some very bad contracts, including Siam and many others. We're not doing that anymore. So, and as we said, you know, we did have a deal, or a proposed deal, a year ago in June, and we decided, nope, that's not looking like what we want to get into. So no matter how much this would be a boon to downtown and the community overall for our Route 66 traffic and the visitors center, which is just diagonally across from there, we want to be sure that we are fiscally responsible, that we're very careful, and we're very cautious.
So let's say the hotel gets built, the parking deck gets built, and all things were cruising, and then all of a sudden, I don't know. I'm going to put the dark cloud over this whole project, because you know you've got the people that are, you know, they want to compare this to the Coliseum, and it's not the same thing. Let's just say the hotel goes belly up, because we've got one in North Normal that's been sitting idle for a decade now. Let's just say the hotel goes belly up. Then what happens? Who's to deal with it?
Right. Well, just to back up, the Commonwealth Hotels has none of those anywhere in the United States. But if it did, people still have to pay their property taxes, right? And it's indeterminate. Let's say it goes belly up in 8 years. Okay. Well, whatever might be left of the bond, you're still going to have to pay your property taxes. Now, are there risks? Yeah, I mean, anything has a risk. Tonsillectomy is a risk, right? So we're not going to say that there are no risks. But given the fact that and this is what Commonwealth's vice president told me back in November. And I said, why are you so sure? You know, obviously they've done their own research. They look at a very long term. They look over like 30-year patterns. They're not looking at the last 2 or 3 years. And they look at your economic profile, and they say, Paul Stanton told me, he said, you're the wealthiest community in downstate Illinois. There is no other downtown hotel. I have no immediate competition. You're putting me next to a Coliseum big convention center and one block away from Route 66 and a Route 66 visitor center. He said, I'm going to make this work. You know, so now does that mean that this could be the first hotel in Paul Stanton's 31 years that hasn't made it? Yeah, anything could happen. Yeah. But this is—it's hardly that the data that we have in front of us is makes it quite clear. And an independent vetting by Friedman and Associates, who've been in the business for 30 some years, strongly recommend that we, go ahead with a deal. That doesn't mean we can come to terms. We're close.
So you've been talking a long, you mentioned November, so you've been talking close to, 9 months to a year with this group, and now they're coming to town. Can you tell us that this thing is really close to being a done deal?
Well, it's never a done deal until we see what the terms are and we actually vote on it and get public input so that people can see what it is. So the absolute earliest, if we had a public discussion, we're still putting the agenda together for Monday, would not be any vote. It would just be presentation, more information, and we still have not received the final report from Friedman & Associates as to what we should do. Their initial analysis suggested that the city could essentially pay up to about a $13 million bond with very conservative estimates of the revenues that would be generated from the project, and actually still have about an extra $500,000 a year to go into the general fund. So there's definitely, even if we went to that tune for possibly a parking garage or something, to put, that is, that's the city skin in the game, we would still have quite a cushion. Now, that was the first analysis. That was a few months ago. So now there were still more details to be worked out. It's actually quite complicated, you know, when you go point by point. And so, again, Normal's gone through this. Bloomington, we're finally, as I say, kind of getting our act together with respect to economic development. Obviously, we've got Green Top Grocery, the first multimillion-dollar investment on Constitution Trail going in. We got Dick's Sporting Goods coming in late this summer. And we've got mega superstore Kroger coming in.
All right.
So we're moving on lots of fronts. Downtown is strategic for many reasons, so it's not the hardly the only area that we are moving on.
So you said you're going to get public input on this. How much weight does that carry? Because you know as well as anyone that when something like this comes up, you've got the naysayers that are going to come out in full force.
Yes, good question.
How much weight does that carry with the decision?
Well, I think it also depends on the positive side. I think the cavalry is ready to come out from many fronts. Many business people, not just downtown stakeholders, as well as many other people throughout the city, many people from older historic neighborhoods, seeing this, are millennials, the under 40 crowd kind of get it more. They realize that downtowns are where the action is. We're not going to achieve our full economic potential in the 21st century if we don't have a thriving downtown. I mean, that's pretty much become not just conventional wisdom. That's the new 21st century city throughout the United States.
Well, the millennials will be into it if there's Pokemon to be captured around the new site. That's all. See, you're up on the Pokemon, huh? All right.
I can't believe that came back. You know, it's like, oh gosh, just when I remember.
That's right. Our kids are the same age.
My kids to see Pokemon.
Yeah.
I said it was so excruciating to watch those movies, and I said, this is why when I'm 90 years old in a nursing home, you're going to wipe the drool off my face because I had to go to these darn Pokemon.
I was with you. Our kids, they went to school together. They're the same age.
Yeah.
You still have Pokemon cards. I'll bet you still have Pokemon cards in your house somewhere.
Oh, we have that.
In a book somewhere.
You name it.
All right.
So, yeah, we've got Pokemon, and what was the one that... the one that followed that.
Pikachu. I don't know any of these things.
No, Pikachu is the
turtles.
The yellow guy.
The turtles. The Teenage Mutant. Never mind. We're running out of time.
You're going back further than this. I think was like a '90s phenomenon.
I want to get to the most entertaining part of the city council meetings. I watch them every week, and that is public comment.
Oh gosh, boy.
I'm going to bring this up. I know you're not going to like it, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. A little confrontation between you and former city council member Judy Stearns, and does this need setup? I'm not going to play the whole thing, but she's basically calling you out, violation of the Open Meetings Act, and you were found in violation of an Open Meetings Act, and she brings this up in her comments. Here's Judy Stearns, and this happened a couple of years ago, but this was her Monday night.
I want to just mention the Open Meetings Act. Lisa Madigan declared that you violated the law, those of you who were there. But does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. It's okay. That's fine. I can't even imagine how many more times it's happened. I don't even want to think about that. At the time, Mayor Renner, you said I was totally ridiculous, but I was right. And you knew I was right as a political science. And I challenge you tonight, in closing, release the minutes. Lisa Madigan recommended our top attorney general release those minutes. Mayor, you said you talked about everything publicly. No, you didn't. But the public won't know that until you release
the minutes. Your time is up.
Thank you.
They were released at the time. And
no, you didn't respond.
There's nothing
I thought
yet.
You weren't
okay.
Going to respond.
Okay.
But you just did. You're trying
okay.
to. And
well,
if you're going to respond, then I'm going to respond.
Okay. Well, actually, at this point, you're out of order. So sit
well,
down,
you're
please.
Out of order, too, because
yeah, I know.
You said you wouldn't respond, and you just
yeah.
did.
Sit down, please. Okay.
Thought she was going to pull an Al Pacino there. You're out of order. You're out of order. So it drives me crazy as I'm watching this because you're not supposed to respond. You tried to respond, and I want you to respond. I know you don't have time to respond, but can you respond to that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. First of all, this is utterly ridiculous. This is total grandstanding on Judy Stearns' part. What happened was we had two meetings that were scheduled back-to-back. As part of our retreat, the very first meeting was supposed to be a public meeting on culture change that talked about it at a policy level, and then the closed session was supposed to be on specific individuals. And the idea was, we need to stop the clogged arteries in City Hall. You're going to be evaluated if you're a department head based on citizen concerns or your responsiveness to citizens. That was the theme. And because of an alderwoman who had scheduling issues, I believe it was Alderwoman Schmidt, we switched the order, and the private session came first. Now, there was nothing kept from the public. There was a banner headline. You guys covered it. Banner headline in the Pantograph, culture change. And at the time, I said to Judy, okay, well, we can release whatever's there. We would redact the specific names, but nothing was kept from the public. What Lisa Madigan's office said and we certainly respect that, and that is that you, even though everything else came out in a public session, the policy stuff that you talked about first should never have been discussed in private closed session. That was essentially the issue. At the time, we changed the minutes for Alderwoman Stearns. We changed them. We said sure she could listen to the closed recordings. I sent an email out this morning to Jeff Jurgis to see what was the exact status of that, and Jeff is our attorney. There is nothing here that was ever hidden from the public. It was a procedural snafu, and we certainly wouldn't do that again, right? And that's why, everything out before. If there's anything else that anybody wants, we can do that. And Alderwoman Stearns knows that. It's grandstanding. I mean, that's why it's.
But what you tried.
We're just supposed to sit up there and take her nonsense. But at the very least, that's why I wanted to set that clarification for her. And that, because she doesn't like it.
All right. So the minutes are out. You corrected her. The minutes are out.
And if there's something that isn't, or the audio. I thought the audio was released 2.5 years ago. Anybody can take a look at it. So, and then that's why
the audio is available too.
Yeah, if it's not on the website, you want it, we'll get you the audio. Now we'd have to redact the names that were talked about, specific personnel, and that was the point of going in to executive.
All right, you know, because I see that, you know, and I know that people stand up there and they're venting, they're angry a lot of times. And they say things that don't sound quite right, and you can't respond. And as a viewer, as a citizen, I would like for you to respond. So that's why I give you the opportunity sometimes when you are being questioned there and you can't respond, that we have you on a couple of days later. I get you.
Sure. Well, and then the other thing that I would say to anyone, as I've said several times, I have a regular mayor's open house Friday before a Monday city council meeting. If you really want answers rather than just to have open mic night, then come in. We can solve your problems often in real time while you're there, or get you answers immediately. In fact, you know, we've got awards, two sets of awards from the Illinois Policy Institute for Transparency and Openness. So I'm proud of that. If there's anything that people want and you want to get the information, if it doesn't involve personnel, or if it doesn't involve, you know, if you're suing us, you know, there are some things that we can't release. But anything else that's material, if you want it, we will get it to you.
And you allow anybody to talk, obviously, because, you know, you talk about open mic night, and there's one guy that he's been back up a couple of times in the last month or so that thinks he's Shecky Green. I don't know what you can do about that guy, but you got to let him speak,
people,
I guess.
We both had people read Green Eggs and Ham.
I know. All right. Hey, good talking to you. We ran out of time. I wanted to get your take on Trump and his possible running mate, but we'll have to do that some other time.
Yeah, that's a story for another day, I'm sure.
All right. Thanks, Terry.